Isaiah chapter 37. I'll read just some of the opening verses here. Isaiah chapter 37 is in the life and times of Hezekiah. And the words of verse 1, Isaiah 37. It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumour, and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirhakiah, king of Ethiopia, He has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria had done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed at Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were and Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of Shephatim, Hina and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, and we'll end our reading just there at the words of verse 15 tonight, knowing the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon the reading of his own precious word. Hezekiah will be a character, no doubt, that you've heard about before. However, it may be that Hezekiah is best known by this very passage that we have read tonight. And he would oft be referred to as the man that took the letter and spread it before the Lord, as we've read in verse 14. He did something which was good and right. And we rejoice that we can take those things that trouble us any time, and we can bring them to the Lord. Peter the Apostle is found to exhort us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But while this is the verse and the action that Hezekiah is most remembered for, it might be possible for many that they do not know the reasons behind it. And what this chapter gives account of is how the enemy, in the form of the Assyrian king and his army, had threatened to come in against Hezekiah and had threatened to take Jerusalem. And such action was forewarned by his general, Rabshakeh, and the words that he cried unto the people. You look at them in verse 13 of chapter 36. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. And he's found to repeat the words of Hezekiah. You look at verse 15 as well. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. And that's a repetition of what Hezekiah had said. And this man stands forth and he announces this. even to the people. And the message that Hezekiah had given to the people was one of faith in his God. He said, "Thou shalt be delivered. The Lord will surely deliver us." And dear people, are we not in a similar day to that which we read about in these verses? A day where verse 3 we see, he says, this is a day of trouble. It's also a day of rebuke. And he goes on, he says, it's also a day of blasphemy. A day of rebuke where the enemy has come in and God has permitted it to be so because of the sins of his own people. A day of blasphemy where God's name nor his word is revered as it used to be. And there's a callousness. And there's a callous spirit abroad which says, I don't need the Lord. I can get on without the Lord. If ever there was a day in which we need the Lord to deliver us, then surely it is our day and generation. And we're not thinking tonight of the apostasy. We're just going no further than these hearts of ours. For these hearts of ours need deliverance from the apathy and the coldness that abounds within many. Our young people need delivered from being taken up with every passing whim and from the contemporary age in which we're living in. And I tell you that God will surely deliver us, but He will do it in answer to prayer. For He will yet for this be inquired of to do it for them. Not what we read. When the news of what Sennacherib's general had said was passed to Hezekiah, he could only do one thing, and that's what we find at the start of this chapter 37. He rent his clothes, sign of mourning. He went to the house of God, seeking that his men and his high priests would go to Isaiah, and they would ask him to pray for them, and that they would bring this matter before them. And you'll find that in the words of verse 3 and 4. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. And that's the message that was to be conveyed even to the prophet Isaiah. What you're now looking at is a man who has been shaken in his faith. He's not as strong as he once was. You'll notice what he says in verse 4 says there, it may be that the Lord thy God will hear. That's somewhat different to 36, chapter 36 and verse 15, where he says the Lord will surely deliver us. There's a little difference there, a big difference. And in Hezekiah, we no doubt often see ourselves in this regard. There are the afflictions. There are the troubles that cross our path. And how often it causes our faith to be weakened. And listen, it affects our praying as well. It affects our prayer life. Let us see the message that Hezekiah was to receive. I want you to consider, first of all, there's a promise from God. Isaiah, whom he was approached, of course, by his servants of Hezekiah. He was a man who had a word from the Lord. Here was a promise which was delivered by God's servant. What was the message? Look at verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. They were to go to their master. They were to give him a word from the Lord. And you notice the word Lord in verse 6 is in capitals. That tells you immediately it's Jehovah. It's the one who says, and it surely shall come to pass. It's the covenant-keeping God. What a blessing when there comes a word to us from the Lord. It ought to be something that we never take for granted. Indeed, it ought to be our business and our desire every time that we come to God's house, or every time that we get into the closet and we get before His Word, that our prayer might be, Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. Lord, give me a word tonight. Give me a word this morning. The very thought of God not speaking to the psalmist was something he feared. Lest he become like those that went down to the pit. Psalm 28 and 1. And here Isaiah gives a message to Hezekiah's heart. It wasn't a message of Isaiah's own making. You'll notice it's a message of, thus saith the Lord. Gentlemen, you take that back to Hezekiah. It's thus saith the Lord. You'll see also this promise of God was already decreed. The trouble of Sennacherib and his army, God knew all about it. He didn't have to be told. He knew all about it inside out. And he comes through his servant to give Hezekiah a reassuring promise in verse 6. Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. He wasn't to be afraid of the words of the enemy. God knew all about their blasphemies. What's more, the promise of God was that he had already decreed his death. Verse 7, behold, I will send a blast. Here's Isaiah speaking, and it's the word from the Lord, you see. And Isaiah is the mouthpiece unto these men, these servants of Hezekiah. And he says, behold, I'll send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor, return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And I want you to see in verse 7 carefully, there's three things there. There's three parts to that promise. Three things which Hezekiah would be told would happen and which decreed how God would deal with his enemy. And with the enemy of the people of God as well, of course. The first thing was, he would hear a rumor. He'd hear a rumor. We live in a day with plenty of rumors. People love to delve into the rumors and spread them. Well, there's no new thing under the sun. There's rumors in those days as well. He's going to hear a rumor. The second thing is, he would hear a rumor, and that rumor would cause Sennacherib to flee, and he would return to his own land. And the third part of the promise was, he would be slain in his own land by the sword. There's a threefold part to one promise. Doesn't it remind us, men and women, that our God is one who's sovereign? He's in control. He didn't need these men to come, or Isaiah to come, and tell them what Sennacherib had done, or the blasphemies that he had spoken. He knew all about it. And you know how it reminds us of the words of Psalm 2. You go back to Psalm 2, it's the opening number of verses. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The word is as Messiah. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And that's just what the kings of the earth do today. They think they're great men. And as it were, they'll raise their fist in the face of Almighty God. And verse 4 just tells us, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. There's the overflow of any opposition. He's in control. Take time to read the rest of that psalm, you'll see it. His promises, you see, are secure and thorough. As Hezekiah was to find out. Just like that prayer meeting in Acts 4. You remember where the apostles come back and they told them what had happened amongst the authorities and what they told them that they weren't to do. They weren't to preach Christ again in the marketplace. And the apostles brought the message back. And that prayer meeting got before God. And they got God's word and they prayed it back to God. Why? You see, for his promises are what we've been singing about tonight. His promises are yea and amen in Christ. They're sure and they're certain. So Hezekiah received a promise from God. Secondly, I want you to see also there's the plan of the enemy here. Of course, where God has decreed a plan, it's the object of the devil to frustrate those plans. It is decreed that the seed of the woman would bruise his head. way back in Genesis 3. And ever since that time that promise was given, the devil sought to prevent that plan coming into fruition. Because the devil knew what it meant. The devil knew the seed of the woman was Christ. And so what did he do? He caused Cain to rise up against his brother Abel. Took him out to the field and slew him. The devil thought that the promised seed was coming through Abel, whereas of course the lineage was to come through Seth. That one appointed of God, that's what his very name means. And right down through the history of the Old Testament, you can see God's plan is still there, but the devil's seeking to frustrate it. The devil's seeking to hinder it. Even on the cross, the crowds were calling on the Savior to come down from the cross and we will believe you. The devil wanted him to get down off the cross, that he wouldn't finish the work of redemption. That's ever the devil's plan, and so we can see it even on this occasion. With Hezekiah, you will see how it is the desire of the devil to distress the people of God. And Hezekiah was no exception to that. When we find him making his way to the house of God with a letter, he's a man who's deeply distressed. He's a man who's perturbed. He's in despair. He's in despair. Even though he had got a promise from the Lord. For understand that he has now received this letter, and it might as well have come from the devil himself. It's a nasty letter. It was that which showed the defiance of the enemy. And the devil will not cow down easily when it comes to his plans against God's people and against God's divine purpose. He is the great adversary. And Hezekiah has it in his hand, a letter which says as much. He's a great adversary. You see, understand that the devil's desire is to deflate our faith. And Hezekiah's faith had already received a knock. But having received the promise of God, that was all that he needed. He could be at peace with himself, for God had promised to deal with the man. He had promised to deal with the enemy. He was going to hear a rumor. And then he would flee to his own land. And there he would meet with death by the sword in that land. Hezekiah didn't need to be troubled. But that's not how we find him in verse 14. He received a letter from the hand of the messengers. And he read it. And Hezekiah went up onto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Those things were before this letter came. He now is a man who has allowed the letter to take over his mind, to take over his heart and his soul, and it has been at the expense of holding on to the promises that God had given to him. And men and women, that exactly is what the devil desires, that our faith will be deflated. And that he would rob us of our trust in God and his word. You see, the devil knows the potency of the book that you hold this evening. He knows the potency of God's word. He knows the certainty of it. And thus he will seek to take the people of God away from the book. And he will do so by deception. And the devil sought to get Hezekiah away from that promise. That word of thus saith the Lord that Hezekiah was to hear from the mouth of Isaiah through his servants. I want you to see what had happened here. You look at verse 9. And he heard say concerning, that is, Sennacherib, concerning Tehakar, Terhakah, king of Ethiopia, he's come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah. Did you notice the first words? He heard say. Hearsay is a rumor. Hearsay is not evidence. Hearsay will not stand in a court of law. But he heard say. His general came and he was to give Sennacherib a disturbing message. He heard the rumor. He heard say that the king of Ethiopia had come to make war with him. Wasn't that what God had stated? Was not what God had promised to Hezekiah in the words of verse 7, he shall hear a rumor. Ah, but look at the rest of the verse and what follows. For you'll notice it doesn't say that they run away. They didn't flee to his own land. Verse 10, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered. You don't see him running away. You don't see him being killed by the sword. What you do see is a man who's as defiant as ever. He certainly wasn't a man slain. He's defiant in his message that is delivered to Hezekiah. He seeks to put a question mark over what his God had told him. And the words that he conveys is full of threatenings. Don't you think that God is going to deliver Jerusalem? Do you not know what the kings of Assyria have done to the other places? Don't let you deceive the people in telling them that Jerusalem shall be spared. And Hezekiah knows about the rumor. But you see, the rest of the promise doesn't follow. And so his faith is shattered. The devil causes him to think that the promises of God have failed. He's heard a rumor, but he hasn't fled. He's not under the sword. And dear people, the devil is about the same business today. He would have us to believe that what God has promised is not coming to pass. That word that God gave to your soul concerning that particular matter, maybe the person next to you doesn't know anything about it. But that word that the Lord gave to you, that doesn't seem to be fulfilled. And thus, you're thrust into many a trouble and despair, and there's a lack of faith, and the distress is felt when all the time our eyes and our attention is upon the letter instead of being upon God and upon His Word. And Hezekiah comes with a letter. And his eyes are off the Lord. His eyes are off the promise that God has given him. And he has to get that letter and he spreads it out before the Lord. I wonder, is that you tonight? God has given you a word and yet it hasn't come to pass. Or at least most of it hasn't come to pass. And you're starting to doubt the word of God. Your faith is taking a knock. The devil's a master of deception. And he has caused you to doubt God's promises and your faith has gone flat. That's just Hezekiah there. It's no longer the Lord will surely deliver us. It may be the Lord will hear. You see, men and women, that's the attack of the enemy. That's the plan of the enemy. But I want you to notice also tonight the plain truth for the believer. What we must understand, never forget, is this. That when God gives a promise, every part of that promise must and will be fulfilled. Every part of it. God doesn't cherry pick. He doesn't turn a blind eye to some part of a little promise that He gave you and say, well, we'll not worry about that bit. We've often seen, or we've already seen, can I say, that there are three parts to this promise. Three parts that God stated in verse 7. But the devil's work was to discourage and was to shake Hezekiah in his faith. And it's the same with Peter. And the Savior indicated that to him. Luke 22. Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And Peter knew what the devil's attack was. How can we succeed? We've got to hold on to God. How can the devil succeed in shaking us? It's when we fail to pray and we go on into that chapter of Luke 22, and when the Savior's praying but a stone's throw from the three disciples, he comes back and he finds them sleeping. And hence don't be surprised then that you'll find later on the attack comes and Peter is sifted like wheat. And he denies the Lord. The devil's work is to discourage. Whether you're young in the faith or whether you're years in the faith, it is to shake you that like he did with Hezekiah here. Because, listen, only one of those three things had been fulfilled. He had heard the rumor. The king Sennacherib had heard a rumor, but he didn't flee, and he wasn't dead. Therefore God's promise must have failed. But while it is, that is the deception, and that is the wiles of the devil, that's not how God works. It might be how politicians work. It might be even how other people that cross your path work. They'll hold their word for most of it, but there'll be that bit they'll not worry about. That's not how God works. Listen. A partial fulfillment of his promises is no fulfillment at all. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. And let me just give you an example of it. We've only got to consider the promise that was given to Abram. And I'd like to take you back to it, to Genesis. The promise was, of course, of an heir. An heir was promised to Abram. But again, God had instructed him, Genesis 15, what his promise entailed. So the Lord promised Abram, he's going to have an heir. An old man, but he's going to have an heir. What would that promise entail? It's really, there's three parts to that as well, you know. You look at the words of verse 4. He was to be one of his household. Let me read verse 3. Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and no one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." So he was to be of his own household. He would be of his own loins. And if you turn over to chapter 17, verse 16, he was to come from Sarah. For it says, "And I will bless her and give her a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." So there's the threefold promise on how Abram would have his heir. He would be of his household. That's what Abram says in verse 3. Verse 4, he would be of Abram's loins and he would be of Sarah, come forth from Sarah. You see, Abraham sought that Lot should be the heir. And through whom would come the blessing. But Lot didn't match up to any three. Lot was only his nephew. He thought that Eleazar would be the heir. That's what you have in chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? He's of my household." But you see, although Eleazar was of his household, he wasn't of Abram's loins, and he wasn't of Sarah either. So it wasn't him. And then there's Ishmael. Ishmael was of Abram's household. Ishmael was of Abram's loins. But Ishmael wasn't of Sarah. That's why, listen, the land of Israel is not for the Palestinians, it's for Israel. It's for the nation of God. Ishmael was not born of Sarah. And he therefore wasn't the one through whom the blessing would come. The promise was not yet fully fulfilled. There's two parts of it. But two out of three in God's eyes doesn't fulfill a promise. And so therefore he wasn't the one through whom the blessing would come. You see, that one was Isaac, of Abram's household, of Abram's loins, and born of Sarah. Partially fulfilled promises are not fulfilled promises of God at all. The word of God is certain. And every last detail is fulfilled. Where better to see that than in the giving of Christ? And in the finishing of the work of our salvation, demonstrated of course at Calvary. You see, we read in John chapter 19, in the words of verse 28, and this, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. All was fulfilled. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. When all was accomplished, when all was fulfilled that the Father gave him to do, only then did he cry, finished. He bowed his head and give up the ghost. Every last detail was fulfilled in the purchasing of your redemption, of our salvation, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, men and women, that's why we can rest upon his book. That's why we can rest upon his word, his sacrifice. And that's why we can rest upon his blood, which can never fail. Heaven and earth will sooner pass away, but God's word shall never pass away. And that gives us a confidence tonight to pray back his word to him. It gives us a confidence where God will yet bring to pass his promises, those promises that remain unfulfilled, and we can come to God with holy boldness, all because of the finished work of our blessed Savior and Redeemer. We know his word is true. We know his word and his promises will be fulfilled. Therefore, men and women, let's pray them back to God with holy boldness. You say to me, what about the promise that Hezekiah got? All right. Chapter 37, verse 9. He heard say. He got the rumor. He heard the rumor. Turn over to verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Verse 37. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. There's number two. He hears a rumor. He will return to the land. What about the third bit? Verse 38. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adam, Melech, and Shazazer, his sons, smote him. What with? With the sword. There's the third part. There's the third part. He had heard a rumor. He would return to his own land. And he would be smitten with the sword. You have every incentive to pray tonight. For we come to one who is the covenant-keeping God, whose ear is open to the cry of his people. And may God help us to spread our need before him tonight as we come to prayer. We come to a covenant-keeping God. If there's one trouble tonight, you be reminded. Don't be shaken in your faith. God's word, God's promises are yea and amen in Christ. They will hold. They'll be fulfilled. Every last promise in the book will be fulfilled. Praise His name. I trust the Lord will bless His precious word even to our hearts tonight.